Welcome to the Bulls Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Kenyatta Wright, and tonight we have two returning guests, two guys that are part of the family now. We got Kataka and Mr. LaSalle.
Hey.
We had a big performance tonight. We look more like the Bulls tonight, and I'm glad to do this pod tonight. We're going to take a break, and we're going to dive right into everything that happened right after this. The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard on YouTube. Get all your latest news, debates, rants right here on the Bulls Guys Podcast.
You know, it's not like, hey, I'm going to play 17 or 18 minutes, or I'm going to play 12. And, you know, we've got to do it collectively, and there's got to be, I think, more urgency. You know, so much of, hey, let me kind of get back into game form. Like, I get all that, but we can't miss out on opportunities to grow and get better. And we've got to be better than we were last game. And, you know, hopefully we'll respond tomorrow and play better. I think this time of year, you always want to fix and try to solve, you know, execution issues. You know, your pick and roll coverages, you know, screening actions, spacing, running, like those things. But, you know, our physicality in particular in that game, whether it been on the backboard or in screening actions, wasn't good enough, and we've got to be better there. And they know that. They're smart enough to know that.
We're back on the Bulls Guys Podcast, and the Bulls close out the Denver Nuggets tonight, 131-113. A great big performance tonight from the Bulls. So, LaSalle, tonight, what did you think about the Bulls' performance, man? You know, they had 23 fast break points tonight. They knocked down 15 three-pointers tonight. The bench was really huge. The bench had 45 points in that first half. And the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray in the first half, which kind of helped the Bulls out. The Nuggets didn't have any offense out there. The Joker tonight was out. What did you think about this game tonight?
Well, I feel like the Bulls came in, played really aggressive, which is good. They maintained a pace, but the most important thing was the defense. Mm-hmm. They actually came out with some kind of defensive strategy that I felt like Billy Donovan had to do, or a defensive scheme, I should say. And that's been your biggest heart. And I think as watching this game, I thought you called to the front office.
Yeah, man, I just felt like the team wasn't playing like with passion. You know, tonight they really got up in Denver. You know, you just see their body movement, and you know, their body language was just much better tonight.
Yes.
You know, a lot better. It was a lot better. And then they forced 19 Denver turnovers. I'm sorry, 19 turnovers tonight for Denver. The Bulls had 14 themselves, but they shot 60% from the field in this game. You know, they shot 53% from three, which I ain't seen the Bulls shot this well from three in a long time. And, you know, even the bench guys came in and shot some threes. But Dragic, I felt like Dragic to begin the game, he set the pace and set the tone, really forced the tempo in this game. And he kind of put pressure on the Denver defense the way Dragic was just racing on the floor. And then we started the game with Vooch, you know, in the post. He had a couple bunnies in the post, you know, a couple easy layups with his back turned to the basket. And Vooch is really coming into his groove. And what I like about this game is that the Bulls showed the best of both worlds. They showed you that they can play the half court with Vooch, and they can get out and run with Caruso, Dalen Terry, Dragic, all of these other athletes that we got, Ayo, and even Kobe White even knocked down some shots tonight. And I even like Kobe White's defense. It was pretty solid tonight.
If the team continues to play like this, which everybody want to say, you know, I know the naysayers out there are going to be like, well, Joker didn't play Murray. I don't care about that because they're not defensive players. You feel what I'm saying? So I feel like our offense still would have been on tune. The only reason why I missed them playing just to see was that full goal defense we played, or did Billy Donovan listen to Mo Cheeks and really – ratchet up on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm. Michael Porter Jr. had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and no, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist tonight for Denver. Man, would the Bulls like to have him back if they could kill it, got him in the draft, man? But he got too many back issues, you know? He's still I think the Bulls made the right decision by passing on him, you know?
Me too, because when you look at it, he costs too much, but he's not there enough. And he don't play no defense, and he's not – he wouldn't play defense if you gave him a sign that said defense. So, you know, from what me and you – how me and you feel about defense – I think would have been yelling and screaming because he can get you 30 points, but is he gonna give up 38?
The Bulls defense tonight was really, really key. They forced 19 Denver turnovers tonight. And then how about the inside points? How about the inside activity with Andre Drummond? I felt like the Bulls had some activity down there in the basket. Then they had Vooch down there doing what he does with his back turned to the basket. The Bulls are now establishing an identity down low, and they're getting out and running and forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. If they're able to do this in a regular season, man, they got something here. They have three legitimate ways that they can beat teams now. Instead of, like, running the ball and shooting, they have three legitimate ways to beat teams now. It's now – we've seen in this game that how important this pickup of Andre Drummond was tonight.
Yeah, I think they actually came – I don't know if you guys talked about this, but I think they actually came out with a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. They had a game plan. Like you said, they did a lot of inside and outside. It was clicking mm-hmm. on all cylinders. And the bench specifically, man, turned up the heat. I know some guys still kind of reserve, like LaVine. He did pretty good, but, you know, we've seen some flashes of the old LaVine, but I know he was holding back a little bit. But, man, I was really impressed.
It surprised me, man. Even guys on this team like Kobe and DeRozan, they were moving the basketball. They wasn't trying to shoot. They were looking for each other.
Right.
So right. I think in that first game, they really looked at some tape. And they really, really took a lot from that first game. Because you can see, like, in this game, they just did the total opposite of what they did in game one.
Right. I think that the lineup actually did work out perfectly with the small ball. I know, man, you talked about that a lot. But I think with the fact of not having the Joker there, and I know he's missing a couple other pieces too, Ashley played a huge role for us. It worked itself out. And I think that, like you said, by having Drummond there, man, even Goran was actually playing a lot better. I know he's probably getting a feel for the team. But he actually did pretty damn good, too. And Kobe, as long as he don't have the ball and he played like he did tonight, just spot up, shoot, you know what I mean? He'll be all right.
Yeah, man. Kobe had 15 off the bench. He had the team high off the bench tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I was impressed with his defense, man.
Yeah, I was, too.
His on-ball defense was spectacular, man. And he just played really, really smart. And I hope I'm not being over dramatic, but this is the best I've seen Kobe play as far as like from an overall aspect. Playing organized.
Huh? You're not being over dramatic.
I've never seen this guy play this organized. Right. I've always seen him hyper to score and hyper to shoot and not looking for his teammate. It's like we've seen a new Kobe tonight, but it's only preseason. I'm hoping we see this Kobe during the season.
Exactly. But we will because of a guy by the name of Terry. Jalen Terry's down his neck, so he knows what Terry can do can't be duplicated. When you have a guy sit, let me tell you something, the Bulls have enough scores. Mm-hmm. They need, you know, it's a plus that Kobe is a big-time scorer in a sense, but that means nothing if you can't stop nobody. We have enough scores, so in order for you to separate yourself from Terry, you know you can outscore Terry, but can you out-defense him? Yes, and I think that lit a match under him.
And I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but did you guys see what I've been telling y'all that we are the deepest team, one of the deepest team in the Eastern Conference? I really believe that.
Very deep.
Yeah.
Everybody on this team could score in double figures. You've seen this tonight.
Right.
I'm not just being a Bulls fan and being biased towards my own team. Name a team in the Eastern Conference that has this many weapons.
Right.
I don't know one.
They are top heavy.
Top heavy. They have like a big three, and then the rest of them suck. But this team, top to bottom, they have at least seven guys on this team that could go to another team and be a star or be a starter.
Even our third, the bench. Even the third stringers came in. Like Marcus Libby nephew.
Let's go to the bench real quick. Let's go to the bench real quick. Sorry, Kotaka. Yeah. Let's go to the bench real quick. Patrick Williams, could he be a starter on another team?
Yeah.
Andre Drummond, could he be a starter on another team?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Goran Dragic, could he be the starter on another team?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Kobe White, could he be a starter on another team?
Yep.
Alex Caruso, could he be a starter on another team?
Yeah. Ask the Lakers.
This is your Chicago
exactly,
Bulls.
Exactly.
This is your Chicago Bulls bench players. This is the bench I'm pointing out. These are guys that can start for other teams.
And don't forget, we have a bench player as a starter right now. So just imagine how deep we will be when Ball come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm going to be honest with you, LaSalle. I don't see Ball coming back. I really don't.
Well, I think he's coming back, but I wouldn't rush him back.
Right.
You know, he could come back as late as December, as early as the middle of November. Me and my thinking is, if the team is running smoothly, mm-hmm. why not let him go to the G League, build his stamina up? Mm-hmm. People don't realize. Everybody look at the G League, the demotion. But if anybody know anything about baseball, they don't let their players come back. They send them to AAA or AA. Let them get their feet back in because it's a fast game. Basketball is no different. Right. We now have the ability to have people go to the G League for a week and get their confidence up, and then let them come on back up with us, and we go ahead and take off.
I'm going to tell you guys something, an experience that I had, and if you guys don't believe me, I can post the jersey that I tried out for the tryouts on Bullseye Group. I tried out for the Iowa Energy, the Chicago Bulls affiliate, back in 2010.
Word, okay.
And I entered that tryouts, man. And these guys, I lie to you not, LaSalle, these guys were athletes, man. They were coming from overseas, and they were in practice. Tomahawking from, like, right below the free throw line. And I'm like, yo, these dudes are some athletes, man. And I'm coming in here because I had an injury at the time. I had a torn ACL that was just repaired. Like about what, 7 years prior? Mm. And I'm going into this thing, man, with a knee injury. And I'm like, I can't jump like these guys. I can play, but I have an injury. I wasn't the same player after my ACL surgery in college. But I went up there, I drove all the way to Hoffman's Estates in Illinois, and I tried out for the Chicago Bulls affiliate, man. And it was a great experience for me. But anybody that thinks these G League guys are pushovers or D League guys are pushovers, they're sadly mistaken.
Right. Sadly,
right, right.
Sadly, because I'm gonna tell you, it's two G League players. Well, he's world renowned. Old Jeter, you remember him? Pooh Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a point guard, but he could never make a pro team. Mm-hmm. He bounced around, and he ended up being on one of them. I want to say Russia's. Mm-hmm. Russia or Czech Republic on one of their Olympic teams because mm-hmm. he was over there playing pro ball. That people just don't realize some of these guys missing one thing. Like, say, Vince, you may have a guy can put up like Blakely. Blakely will put up 40, 50 points that he's playing for the Bulls, but he couldn't guard. Right. He couldn't guard nobody.
Yeah.
So, and people fail to realize also. That what's the guy name that's out? Spencer Dinwiddie. He's almost out of the NBA. The Bulls had him. They mm-hmm. actually had that guy. Let him go. He goes to I want to say Detroit, and then ends up in New Jersey right. and rediscovers himself.
Yep.
You know, people don't realize, man. It's all about systems, also.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because if Draymond Green don't end up in Golden State, Draymond Green probably isn't in the NBA. You can't tell me one thing he can do for another team outside of Golden State besides probably Brooklyn, but Brooklyn is just now being formed. So,
and I'm gonna tell you something, man. What about that punch? I meant to talk about that with you guys tonight, man. Yeah, he laid dude out, man.
Yeah, but I saw that video.
Did he lay him out or did the momentum? Because remember,
man, he laid him out.
Yeah,
that was a hard punch, man. It was clearly perfectly targeted.
Yeah.
But what I said to you is Jordan Poole's a light-skinned guy and don't have a mark on him.
if you look at the video, as soon as he punched him, he dropped. And then Draymond goes right on top of him.
Right. But think about it. I would have dropped too if I was his size, only because I'm trying to get up under him. I can't go toe-to-toe with that dude, so either I need to get up under him and let him wrestle me so that I don't get hit no more, or he was shot. Was it a drop of shockness? Because he finished practice. Think about it. If you – Steve Kerr had a black eye after Jordan hit him.
Yeah.
It wasn't no finishing.
I'm going to tell you right now, man, Draymond is on his way out of Golden State. And he's starting to get the reputation of a locker room cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got into that argument with Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant was not in Golden State. And he already admitted it that in an interview, multiple interviews, that he left Golden State because of Draymond Green. Now you got a young, talented star in Jordan Poole that will probably leave if Draymond doesn't leave the team. So nobody can be on this team because of Draymond. Draymond is basically forcing everybody off the team that the Warriors want to keep.
But you know, they're saying this punch was over contracts.
Yeah, I heard that too. Did he get an extension too?
Neither one of them haven't got the extension yet, but they're saying if they're going to pay anybody, they're going to pay Poole.
I would keep Jordan Poole as well. Why not? I mean, listen, the guy's younger. Listen, Draymond Green, I get it. He's a locker room guy. You know, he's the backbone of the team. He talks the loudest on the team. But at the end of the day, what does he really give you as far as production and numbers? I think you can replace what Draymond Green gives you.
You can.
You got Kuminga.
Who can score too? Yeah, he can do both. Yeah. Score and play D.
So yeah, Draymond, go ahead.
Draymond couldn't throw a rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean last year.
He sucked in that finals, man.
Almost cost him the finals.
And he was talking the loudest about, oh, I knew he was going to win, and I had us win it. You ain't even ball like that. You ain't even do nothing.
Let me ask you this.
I don't like Draymond because he's a Michigan State dude. I'm an Illinois dude, you know. I was never sold on Draymond anyway because he tried to pride himself like to be like a Dennis Rodman, but he's nowhere near.
There ain't no Dennis Rodman.
No way. Dennis Rodman said, "What's that? What's that little girl? What's that child name?" Remember, he said that anyway. What's that child name? I have baby. I lock him down. I lock baby down.
Exactly. So I mean. He just happened to be on a good team. You know, he ain't even thinking about leaving. But like you said, okay, Doug, he gonna be his way on out of there anyway. So, but when he go to another team, we ain't going to hear from him no more. I mean, he's going to be forgotten like all the other ones. So, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple topics. One of the topics we're going to talk about is Derrick Jones Jr. saying that it was a sure thing that he was going to be resigned by the Bulls. Right after this.
The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify. It's the Bulls Guys podcast. Follow us on all social media platforms. Show us your support.
Once me and Coach had a conversation on the phone, it was a no-brainer. I was coming back regardless because I felt like we left a lot on the table last year. And I just wanted to come back and see if we could have another run at it. If your finger hurting and you catch the ball every time and it just hurts a little bit, it's always a mental aspect that you got. But like I said, right now I'm 100% and I feel as best as I ever did. So that finger is long gone out of my mind.
All right, back on the Bulls Guys podcast. So, guys, Derrick Jones Jr.'s comments that he felt like it was a guarantee that he was on his way back and saying that, you know, he got hurt last year and felt like, you know, the team was on top of things, you know, before him and a couple other Bulls players got hurt, which I agree with him. But I don't see the part of him saying, like, you know, he's key to the Bulls' success. I mean, this guy, I looked at his numbers earlier. He averaged somewhat 5 points and four rebounds and three assists, something along those lines.
You know,
it wasn't nothing to look at. It wasn't nothing to brag about. That's why I don't even really remember his stats. I just gazed over him. But I don't think – I think this guy is just talking himself up a little bit too much.
Because what you got to look at, K-Dub, this is what you have to look at. I kind of agree with him. He's a high-energy guy. He's the one that'll dunk on somebody. We down by 20. He come in the game, dunk on somebody, and start that run. He did it a couple of times last year. Some things don't show up on the stat sheet, and he's versatile. He's pretty good at what he does at the price he is. Sometimes when you know you're coming in cheap, you know you're coming back. Think about it. They didn't break the bank to keep him. You feel what I'm saying?
That's true.
I think that's what he's more talking about. And we do have to give him his props. The dude went out there. He played the four position, the three position. One night he even played the five position. So we give him, you know, him and people like Javonte Green. I don't think they're going to get rid of Green. Green is so instrumental in what we do that people don't realize they take him for granted, if you ask me, because – that dude.
Hold on. Who talking about getting rid of Green? He like the last person on this team I get rid of.
No.
I'm some cats do want to get rid of him, though. It's some guys.
They crazy as hell.
Because they don't see what he does. All they see is he's 6'4". And don't get me wrong, he is outsized, but he's not out-hearted.
I don't give a damn if he's 5'3". He play harder than everybody on this team, basically.
Right.
Except for Caruso.
Right, facts. And I agree with you, but people forget Charles Barkley was 6'4", playing the power forward at a very, very big time when power forwards was really banging. They wasn't shooting three-pointers. They were banging. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's going to be good in our system. I'm not saying that he can go somewhere else and play the four, just like Draymond. Draymond Green can only thrive in what they do and Golden State, and I think the same thing with Green and Jones.
I think that I agree with you, LaSara, that he does have the stats that don't show up on the stat sheet. He does have the heart, and he'll play injured. I think that he just, as long as we have another big that can do the things that we need to do from a big level. You know, as long as he don't have the extended minutes, because the dude is fragile. That's my only knock. He's very fragile. So if we can find another big or get another big that actually can give a little bit more minutes and not overly use Derrick Jones, then, you know, he can come in and do what he got to do. We don't have to worry about him being hurt. That's my only knock on Derrick Jones. So I don't fuck with what he's saying. But like you said, we got him for cheap. It was a no-brainer in that sense, cost-wise. And if we were to make a trade and he have to be the missing piece, I could see him going definitely before Javonte Green.
Javonte Green is not on my trade list at all. And any Bulls fan that thinks that he should be, I'm checking their blood temperature. He should not be. Listen, this is the thing that Bulls fans need to realize. That baby Bulls team of 2004 reinvented Chicago Bulls basketball after Michael Jordan era. Anybody that we get that resembles that type of energy and hard work and ethic, I'm keeping them because they resemble Chicago Bulls hard-nosed basketball. Grabbing LeBron James around the body and pulling him to the ground like Kirk Heinrich, giving him blisters on his arms, climbing all over LeBron James out of bounds like Jimmy Butler did. We are scrappers. That's Chicago Bulls basketball. That's Chicago Bulls, Chicago culture. Chicago is a hard-nosed city. That our play represents the city. You can't get rid of a player like Caruso or Javonte. You just can't.
Taking a shot like Kirk Heinrich.
Say that again?
Taking a shot like Kirk Heinrich. Kirk Heinrich didn't have no problem stepping in front of big guys. And
you just can't get rid of them kind of players, man. Those kind of players represent what we're about. And we got, and speaking of that, players like Lonzo Ball, I'm sorry, he got a lot of fans in Chicago, man, but I don't like this guy. I think he's made out of glass. He's soft.
I wouldn't say he's soft. I just say he's fragile goods.
Listen, man, he waited till the season's about to start to have surgery. He should have done that last year.
Can I say something? Remember, they cleaned it up. This is his second surgery. Remember, he was doing good, and then he just had it on that right there, bro. I can't really comment on that because I don't know the severity of it, but I know they've been working with him all off season. Mm-hmm. So they made that call, not him. They was trying their damnest not to go in that knee because you don't want to go in the knee but so many times.
Yeah.
But they knew this beforehand before they even got him to come over here. You know, they knew his history with L.A. because it was practically the same injury he had in L.A. So they took a chance. Probably was thinking we want to get this big name guy, sell some tickets. They thinking money aspect over whether this guy going to, you know, what's the chances of him getting injured. So they took a chance. But they should have had a backup plan at that particular time in the event that this dude was going to get injured again.
Mm-hmm. But think about it. The backup plan was supposed to be Kobe, but nobody realizes he's a combo guard, not a point guard. Then comes along, Ayo, I'm going to tell you this. Everybody knew he's had these problems since UCLA. So I feel, because if anybody argued with me on this point, I know this right here, and y'all know basketball. He was the better point guard for our system because the numbers tell the truth. He's the most unselfish point guard there is out there. Most starting point guards want to be scoring point guards. With our team, we had scores. All we needed was somebody to leave you open, nail the shot, facilitate, get Vooch involved early. Because remember, that was the game plan. Get Vooch involved early. And then everybody feed off Vooch.
Right.
That somehow when Vooch couldn't adjust to being a three man. Now that Vooch adjusted to being a three man, we no longer have Ball, but we do have Ayo sitting here and bringing his game up, man.
And I'm Dalen so Terry. Don't forget Dalen Terry.
No, I'm not gonna forget him, but for right now, Dalen Terry is not gonna be an intricate part to the team. I say until probably after All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You remember, think about it. AO got in the right game at the right time, proved his worth, and next thing you know, they couldn't get him out the lineup.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
That's going to be Terry. Terry just has a longer pecking order. In order for him to get shot, that means we're going to have injuries.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Bulls fans at home that's listening on YouTube, I know for a fact that a lot of Bulls fans in Bulls Nation don't like my opinion throughout the years. But when you go to my podcast or you go to my Facebook group, I'm going to give you the facts and tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to tell you what you should hear, not what you want to hear. The Chicago Bulls, the reason why they're not better than Milwaukee, they're not better than Philadelphia, they're not better than some of the contenders, is not because of their roster. It's because working out, taking care of their body, which would contribute to injuries. If you take care of your body, you won't have as many injuries if you're in the gym as much. But that's neither here nor there. They don't have the hunger that other teams have. And they have to realize that, you're good on paper and you're good talent-wise, but that doesn't mean you're going to go to the finals. The team that's going to make it to the finals is going to be the team that's the hungriest, unless you have a major injury. But mano y mano, two healthy teams, the team that wants it more is the team that's going to win. And I want to see from this team, not individuality, like I seen the last game, but a team, more of a team concept like I seen tonight. A hungry team that's fighting and for a goal collectively. That's what's going to make the difference in if this team can ever get to the finals.
But also, to piggyback off what you're saying, we know the real reason why if this team doesn't thrive, what's the reason? You know, Kataka know.
Yeah, we discussed.
Yep.
And it's funny that post comes out the next day about same thing we said in this podcast. He's the Doug Collins without the hype. He's the Doug Collins because one thing we can say, at least Doug Collins had some feeling and had a pulse. We knew he was on the sideline. Billy Donovan don't do nothing. Phil didn't do nothing because Phil said, I coach in practice. Mike and Scotty is the coach once the game started.
He's too relaxed. I'm not calling no
timeouts. I don't do none of that unless they look at me and say, hey, Phil, we need you to reel us back in. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? For the most part, and Billy Donovan is not that type of coach. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we're going to mess around there and get Edoka. We're going to get who we should have got in the first place. You said that. You yelled that from the rooftop up. Mm-hmm. Once Boston got him, you was like, Boston is for the takeoff. Everybody was like, oh, Boston going to be sorry. Don't you see we just came back? He didn't have their head. Remember that loss that we gave them woke them up.
Mm-hmm. And I told you that was going to come back to bite AK that he didn't sign him.
Yeah. And you Udoka came from Pops. I mean, what better pedigree than Pops? You know what I'm saying? And you're right. I mean, you could tell the way Donovan has his interviews and his press conference, how he's stuttering and going all around about this. You know, he's not that type of, like you say, he's not that type of guy to get all up in your ass when you're messing up either on the court because he's so afraid that, you know, he's going to ruffle some feathers. You know, like Jim Boylan did with D. Wade and Butler.
Jimmy Butler, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they got him for a reason, for that particular reason, because they didn't want no more mutiny within the organization. You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't know. Like you said, if we get Udoka, that'd be great.
That'd be spectacular, not just great.
Yeah, that'd be completely opposite than we would have thought. But if they don't get Udoka, man.
Yo, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And it's plain and simple. And I'm surprised that most Bulls fans in Bulls Nation don't get it. And I'm not insulting you at home, Bulls fans in Bulls Nation. I'm just trying to get it simplified for you. You can't have a coach holding your hand for every single thing. You have to have a coach holding you responsible for everything that you do on the floor. You need a coach that's going to discipline his players and have a structure, not a coach that's going to pat you on the back when you mess up. Oh, it's okay. Just wait for the next play. You'll be fine. No, you're held accountable for every decision that you make on the floor because we're trying to win and build towards something. It's that simple. It's not about friendship. It's about business, LaSalle and Kotaka.
Yeah, yeah. And these players nowadays, man, are built on emotions, unfortunately. They ain't like back
throw that out the window if they want to win a championship.
I agree. Ain't like in the 90s and 80s when Jordan, coaches was all up in these players' asses, left and right. They didn't have a problem yanking. They stopped playing from doing a bad play. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you take a player out of the game, you know, he throwing his towel, walking to the locker room, throwing his jersey to the fans, you know, and the game is halfway over. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's sad, but yeah, we need to go back to the old school.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, the Bulls win tonight, 131 to 113, and in a great win all around. The Bulls just did everything right in this game, man. And this is what I want to see from the team moving forward. But we know how schizophrenic this team is at times, and they like to revert back to the isolation basketball. But if you play like as a team, what happened tonight, that's going to happen consistently. And you keep on building these habits, it's going to be better than your DNA. And you're going to be a well-oiled machine and hard to beat. And that's something I want to see for the Bulls. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to wrap up the show right after this. You want the most uncensored and blunt podcast? The Bulls Guys Podcast. As only K-Dub and Greg Love can bring it to you. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify, and all social media platforms.
The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify.
All right, guys, end of the show. Big win for the Bulls. Excited to see them actually show the strengths that they have and the depthness that they have, how deep they are. Everybody in this game contributed. We showed every single thing we can show. Half court, offense with Vooch, getting out in the fast court, 23 fast break points, 3-point shot. We just showed it all. We left it all out on the floor. But I would like to see it done against a healthy team.
I agree. I mean, next game, you know, great win for the team. I celebrate tonight, but back to square one next day. Let's see if you can keep repeating, because the preseason is short. Got two more games. Then it's showtime.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed the win, and the Bulls' next game is on Sunday night at 5 p.m. Central Time, and it's against the Toronto Raptors. Let's hope that the Bulls can get another victory and build momentum as they get ready for the regular season. Good night, Bulls fans. See Red.
See Red. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Go Bulls.